This time of the year, the Christmas story tends to crop up in concerts in one of a handful of versions. Handel's Messiah and Bach's Christmas Oratorio are probably the best examples that get their moment in the spotlight each Advent. But this year, at the Jacob School of Music's Early Music Institute, they're giving one of the Baroque era's more obscure renderings its due. Professor Nigel North will direct the EMI's performance of Heinrich Schütz's Christmas Story this weekend. He spoke with Artwork's David Wood.
Something that I find really interesting, having read about this piece, is that during Schütz's lifetime, he only rented out the scores. The only thing you could purchase was the evangelist's part because he really wanted to control who could perform this music because he really thought it needed to be done by a stellar ensemble and at a place where they could really afford to do all of the parts as written. So how is that shaping up with the Early Music Institute?
Well, fortunately, we've not been through 30 Years' War. And the only thing we didn't have were enough bass voices free to do it. So in traditional way, we've substituted one of those with a sackbut. Otherwise, we've got two recorders, two violins, three trombones, organ, and two little viols and a violone. Plus, I think we got 12 singers altogether. So I think Schütz would be happy. Yeah.
And you mentioned all of those instruments and the variety.
Oh, and a cornetto, sorry, excuse me, yeah.
And including that, that this is made up of so many vignettes, little scenes where they've taken a portion of the Christmas story and created little vignettes by using a specific voice part and a specific pairing of instruments. How does that play out, especially with the way the angel part? You would think it would be, you know, a very high instrument, but he doesn't choose a high instrument for that.
Yeah. As far as the whole thing goes, it's like the evangelist threads it all together. He keeps people's attention and tells a lot of the story, then gets to the next bit, which is worth stopping at. And he concludes it until then the chorus sort of comments on the whole thing. And each, as we've been learning it, I can see how in each part of the evangelist story and in the interludes, the intermedium, how well he's expressed the text. So, for example, in the angel, there's this sort of lullaby rocking figure in the bass line. And my view of the two little viol parts is that it's almost like the sort of a halo of the angel's her halo shining through. And they sort of comment and echo on what she does. And she sings three times and it each time changes until the sort of joyful time at the end when the baby Jesus is safe, you know, born and safe. In fact, he gets born before the first intermedium. And the shepherd's intermedium is expressed, you know, quite traditionally with two recorders and dulcian. And the four very pompous high priests, bass voices and two sackbuts as well. And so that the congregation, because it was sung at a Vespers on a Christmas Day, 1660, everybody would have known the story. The evangelist part, everybody knew the text from the Bible, and they were just waiting to, oh, that's the next little bit of the story. And the music brings it to life.
And you mentioned the chorus, and it's, I guess it's interesting to note that the chorus just has something at the beginning and something at the very end,
yes,
and nothing in the middle.
No, that's exactly it. Although I think in sort of Italian and German traditions of that time, a big group of singers singing together at the beginning and the end, and out of which we take all the voices to sing the other parts. And that actually works out pretty well. Ideally, four of each, but we don't have exactly four of each ones, but that would be the ideal in a non-war zone.
It's a work that is not often performed, I think largely because of the idea of having all these different instrument pairings and maybe having so many different kinds. So I guess if a church was looking to do it, it might get a little expensive if they're thinking in that way. But really, it's a wonderful illustration of the Christmas story. What went into the idea of performing it this year?
Certainly, within the Early Music Institute, we've often wanted to do a Christmas program. And about a year ago, that just to me seemed the obvious piece because it's one of my favorites. I've never heard it done here. And I knew that we had all the resources that we needed for it, which you wouldn't find in every church. But that's how it came about. And because it's only 40 minutes, I thought, well, we'll make it a bit more of a festive occasion. So we've got an instrumental canzona by Hassler, and then just two of the Christmas well-known carols, really, like in Dulce Jubilo, in four different versions from Praetorius, and another one in Natus Est, Emmanuel. And they both date from a little bit earlier than the story of Schütz, but from the time when he was in Dresden. So, I'm, you know, he and Schütz, Praetorius and Schütz knew each other. Yeah.
So it ties it all together.
Yeah, there. Hopefully.
Professor Nigel North spoke with Artworks' David Wood. The performance of Heinrich Schütz's Christmas story by the Early Music Institute's Concertus Ensemble will be held in Auerhall on Saturday, December 5th at 2 p.m.